Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, October 1st. October is here, man. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Week 5, man. Week 5. This is when the rubber meets the road for a lot of us out there. This is when I think this is when the squads start producing. If you happen to draft for depth, you're going to be able to survive the bye weeks, whereas a lot of those teams who either A, didn't draft for depth, or B, already traded their depth away are going to have some problems. Of course, it never hurts to pat the bench a little bit. So today on the podcast, going to go through some of the latest news, including the Christian McCaffrey stuff. Yikes. And then give you the top 10 waiver ads for the week. Of course, over at FTNFantasy.com, the waiver wire tool is already populated. 49 options, including 4 defensive streamers this week in the tool. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I give you recommended fab. I have them in my preferred order. And I give you notes on each player to give you a little bit of a sense of why they are, where they are. And this week, well, I say top 10, I'll go to 11 because I know you're going to ask me why I didn't include the guy who's at 11 in the top 10. So I'm going to have to explain that one for you. Anyway, let's get into it for today. So Christian McCaffrey, the latest news is it's Achilles tendonitis in both legs. Now, that was not reported initially. We thought it was just one leg. We didn't know which leg, but it's both. Now, is this cry foul for the 49ers? No. I don't think there's any issue here with the San Francisco 49ers. I know that some people are complaining. Imagine that, people complaining about things, but I don't see it as an issue here. They aren't required to necessarily report that information. And, you know, it's just like in the preseason, they weren't required to really report any information. And so they're operating within the confines of the rules. I have no issues with that whatsoever. You know, you do what you have to do. Apparently, that's what all the people who wake up at 3 a.m. to do waiver moves on Wednesdays are telling me. You do what you have to do. Okay, then you could understand it if that applies to you, right? Unfortunately, it's Achilles tendonitis in both legs. And, you know, I'm not a medical doctor. I am a doctor, but I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a PhD. I don't believe it either, but I am. It's true. It happened. But anyway, I don't have the medical expertise to tell you what that really means, but I can tell you it's not good. And I can tell you that Achilles tendonitis is something that leads to concerns about bigger Achilles injuries. If you're going out there and you already have the tendonitis, your chances of a very bad injury are much higher than if you don't have it. Now, I don't know the process to healing this thing. Obviously, he goes to Germany to see that doctor over there who has had success with other athletes in the past, but that doesn't guarantee success here for McCaffrey. At the very earliest, I would expect him after their bye week, which of course is in week 9. That means a week 10 return at the earliest. That means, well, we're coming down the home stretch of the fantasy football regular season. This is not a time where I'd be running out to acquire him. Honestly, I think if you could sell him for a reasonable price, and I'm not talking about a player who is one of these nebulous backfields or a player who potentially could lose their job at some point, but if you can get something decent for him, I would consider it. It would have to be a running back, unless I'm absolutely loaded at running back, which if you are, how the hell did you do that this season? But it would have to be a running back. I could see it. I could see it. It sucks. It totally sucks. It really sucks. And it shows you that this game that we play is a game of incomplete information. It sucks. But that's all we can really do right now. If you have Jordan Mason, you're rolling. I do think that probably it makes sense to get Garendo if you can. That doesn't mean sacrifice depth on your team to get Garendo. Like if you have one of those implied value running backs who doesn't have a pathway to a starting job and isn't a handcuff for you, then yeah, Garendo would be the answer, but it doesn't mean force him on your roster if you don't have the move to make. Anthony Richardson, good news here. He's being called day to day. So that means that he could play this week. There may not even be a Joe Flacco appearance this week. As for Jonathan Taylor, it's being called a high ankle sprain, though Shane Steichen said they're not considering IR. I can tell you this, if he mentioned IR, then guess what? They considered IR, but they're probably not going to do it here, which is good. That would mean 2 to 4 weeks, not the dreaded like 4 to 8 weeks of a high ankle sprain. So we will get Sermon. Sermon is not a priority. I can't guarantee we get Sermon, but if it's a high ankle sprain, I highly doubt that Taylor plays. So Sermon is not as good. And in fact, is a big downgrade. I would actually expect them to activate or elevate Evan Hull from the practice squad. We could see a little bit of him. Tyler Goodson's on the roster as well to do some stuff in passing situations. Not really an ideal spot if you have Jonathan Taylor, but you know, it sounds like we avoided a major injury. Cooper Kupp won't play this week. No kidding. They didn't put him on IR. And the only reason is not because they're being cute. It's because they don't have any more designated returns to use. They were already decimated, the Rams were. So just expect him out for a little bit more here for sure. Mixon, Dell could be back this week, both of them, which is good. Watson. Let's go to Christian Watson. Matt LaFleur said a week or so. I don't buy that it's a week or so. I think it's multiple weeks. He could end up being placed on IR. We haven't seen any news one way or the other yet, but it is a high ankle sprain. And that puts Dontavian Wicks in the mix. I'm going to talk about Dontavian Wicks in a few minutes here. We have a bunch of guys who could get back onto the field this week. Evan Ingram, David Njoku, highlighting that group. We also have the windows opening up for a number of players who are on IR, on PUP, on NFI, right? And probably the biggest name for a lot of us is Nick Chubb. I don't think he's going to be available. I'll tell you this, the fact that his window is opening up, remember, they have 21 days in which to be activated. A lot of times you will see it'll take a full week. So even if his windows open up this week, he may not be back until next week. Don't take it as, oh, he's back. They have to see where he is. If they are not activated from designated to return in 21 days, they automatically go to season ending IR. That is obviously not good, but these windows can open up. It could take a little bit of time. That is something to note there. Also, another thing to note, if Nick Chubb's window, in fact, opens up, and maybe it opens up today, maybe it already is open by the time that you hear this podcast. I've not seen any news yet, but that is the anticipation. The one problem is those players are not on the practice report because they're not on the active roster. So therefore, the team doesn't have to tell you if it was a limited or what have you. So we have to rely on the beat writers for that sort of thing. That's the best we can do. Nick Chubb's probably already rostered. My expectations for him, hopefully he steps back in and is like a flex plus, you know, does more, hopefully a little bit more than what Jerome Ford is doing. So flex plus, maybe an RB2. I don't expect it to be peak level Nick Chubb, obviously at his age, coming off of this injury, but still could be a strong fantasy contributor. Dave Canales said that Jonathan Brooks' window will not be open. So we have that at least this week. Maybe it's next week. Be careful here. If you have Chuba Hubbard, just keep riding it until the wheels come off of that thing. Kendre Miller, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kendrick Bourne, all expected to practice this week. So their windows can open up. There's appeal to stashing those guys. TJ Hockenson, I haven't seen one way or the other. I saw initial suggestion last week that yes, it could open up this week. I've also seen some pessimism. So what I suggest is he is out there in a little bit over 30% of leagues across ESPN and Yahoo. So go out and see if he's there. And if he is, not a bad stash. Even if I had an existing tight end, this is one of those rare instances where, yes, I would roster two because injuries and bye weeks sometimes can cause us to do that. Not a bad thing because Hockenson, we know how good he is when he's healthy. And honestly, right now, with how the quarterback is playing, with how Sam Darnold is playing, it is kind of interesting. So watch for all of that to happen this week as we're, you know, 5 weeks in, bye weeks are starting. Just a friendly reminder, your bye weeks this week, your team's on bye. Two of the teams who played last night, Detroit and Tennessee, Philadelphia, and the Chargers are also on bye. We do have a Thursday night game. Obviously, we have the Tampa and Atlanta, but we have a Sunday morning. So you West Coast folks, 6:30 a.m. start time, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's the Jets versus the Vikings. That's going to be a lot of fun. And this week, only one Monday night football game. I would suspect, based on what I'm hearing, that we might see those sort of doubleheader, or not really doubleheader, like simultaneous doubleheader, if that's a thing. I would expect to see that more in the future. I think Disney liked it. I think the NFL likes when Disney likes things. So that could be a larger feature going forward. I don't mind it. I actually had fun with it last night. Let me talk about those two games really quickly here. So on the first game, it was nice to see the Tennessee backfield going. The offense certainly looked like it was more capable with Mason Rudolph. Not that he did anything. We'll have to see what they do going forward. But all reports suggest it's still Will Levis. And he does have the bye week here to get ready to get back with that shoulder issue. On the other side, all you can do is wait. You know, Tua obviously is significantly important to that offense. Tyler Huntley couldn't run it well. Skylar Thompson couldn't run it well. Boyle couldn't run it well. I mean, really, they need Tua, you know. Unfortunately, Joe Flacco's on another team, and so is Andy Dalton, so they need Tua to come back. If your instinct is, and I'm going to speak for like 95% of the fantasy playing public with any piece of this offense, and you can say Tyreek Hill, you can say Jaylen Waddle, you can say Devon Achane. Ready? You know, what's going on with Devon Achane? Should I trade him away? Something to that effect, right? If that's your instinct, guess what? It's the instinct of 95% of the population who play fantasy football, who roster anybody who's having a poor stretch of games. You can't trade them away because you're going to get crap for them. What are you trading them away for? What are you trading for? Tyreek Hill for Tank Bigsby? Like, what are you doing? What are you going to get? You're not getting anything good. So the real answer here is wait until he has a good game and then trade him away. The problem is 95% of the fantasy playing public, once a player has a good game, all is right with the world, right? DeAndre Swift managers, all is right with the world. Everything's okay now. We don't have to trade him away, but that's really the time to do it. Like, by the way, DeAndre Swift, not the worst idea to sell him high for another running back. You know, I'm not saying you have to, but this would be the time to do it. Not after a crappy game, after a good game. So wait for something good to happen, or we just wait until Tua comes back. I'm right there with you. It pained me when I updated ROS rankings, rest of season rankings at ftnfantasy.com, and had to put Tyreek Hill in at wide receiver 15. This guy should be number one, and it shouldn't be an issue. But I have no confidence here until Tua comes back, and I don't know when that's going to be. I really don't. And I don't think this is like a, oh, just trade for Trey Lance. That'll solve everything. Like, I don't think this is a trade for somebody situation. And I don't think they trade for Bryce Young, because if you trade for Bryce Young, you're basically saying, yeah, Tua, we just traded for the former number one overall pick. You know, I just don't see any of that making sense. So it's a crappy situation. You're not alone, though. And stuff like this happens every year. All right, let's move to the other game. I will say this. Every time Detroit and Seattle play, it is must-see TV. Every time. And this isn't just like a this year, last year thing. Like, this goes back to when Russell Wilson was on the Seahawks. Like, it's every time they play. I don't know what it is about these teams. Well, they're both very exciting, and they obviously both came in with good records. But man, was that an awesome game. Now, to the Seahawks side, I have no issue with the offense. Like, Kenneth Walker's back, boom, three touchdowns. First time since Marshawn Lynch in 2014 for the Seahawks to do so. He had that one play where he flipped over not once but twice to avoid the ground. Incredible. Incredible stuff. And only 12 carries for him. And I don't think this is like a dump Zach Charbonnet point in time either. Walker ends up 16 touches because he did catch four for 36. Charbonnet had seven touches. Okay. Probably not flex worthy most weeks, but still is going to be used. And the implied value of him is important because if Charbonnet goes down, then, or if Walker goes down, that is, then Charbonnet is back end RB1 material, right? DK Metcalf, 7 for 104. This is not a fluke. This is not a test. This is not a drill. This is real. DK Metcalf is the Rome Odunze role in this offense. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, Ryan Grubb came from Washington, not Commanders, but the university last year. Roma Dunze was the big body guy. Roma Dunze was the guy who had the biggest numbers. And lo and behold, he has a body guy who has big numbers back, three straight 100-yard games. This is not sell high. This is the new normal for DK Metcalf. And then you have Lockett out there. 5 for 61 is fine on 9 targets. Smith and Jigba, 8 for 51 is fine on 12 targets. Like, I'll take all of that all day long. It is Washington at the pro level. You know, it's the Washington offense, the Huskies offense at the pro level, and that is a good thing. Geno Smith right now is leading the NFL in passing yards. Geno Smith right now is QB8 in fantasy. He was, what, inches short of 2 touchdowns in this game, or, you know, would have been a much bigger game. He's running well. He had 5 for 38. I mean, all of it adds up here. 395 passing yards for him. It's a good spot. Even though they lost, and I'm not even going to blame their defense. Like, Detroit was just awesome. They looked awesome too. How badass were those helmets? I love it. Absolutely love them. Absolutely love them. And, you know, I'm not faulting this offense whatsoever. I thought they were really good in this game. Now, of course, Detroit was even better. Jared Goff was basically perfect. Not only 18 of 18, which is an NFL record, 292-2. And yeah, let's do our little Nick Foles impersonation here and get in the end zone as a pass catcher. Awesome. He catches the touchdown from Amon-Ra late in the game. He throws one to Amon-Ra. That's awesome. It was so cool. Jared Goff is, you know, he's a fringe QB1. They're not all going to be like this, but obviously we know in that offense, all he has to do is be a point guard and he's going to put up fantasy numbers because they have so many weapons. Now, originally, and this is why you watch the whole darn game, people were freaking out like, oh, David Montgomery's getting all the carries. Oh, the sky is falling. If I have Jameer getting, bro, chill. Montgomery, 12 for 40 in the touchdown. A lot of it came on that first drive, but he had, oh, if you didn't see the one catch he had, it was 1 for 40. It wasn't spectacular in that he like made some kind of diving play or something. He absolutely steamrolled a defender on that play. Like, he's just so much fun to watch. So 80 scrimmage yards on 13 touches. Jahmyr Gibbs has 14 carries, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns, gets goal line work as well. That was the concern last year. Nope, not a concern anymore. Both of them were awesome. Now in the passing game, Goff didn't have to do that much. They were scoring on every drive. So he threw the ball 18 times, but this wasn't a Baltimore Ravens, you know, they didn't really get anything done in the passing game because everybody was getting in. Like, Amon-Ra goes 6 for 45, which ordinarily you'd think, oof, but he scores the touchdown and he throws the touchdown. Jameson Williams catches two balls on 2 targets. And ordinarily you'd be like, ooh, 80 yards and a touchdown. Sam Laporta catches 4 balls for 53 yards, which is a good tight end week. Like, across the board, they were humming. It was a great game. A lot of fun coming out of that one. All right, let's get into the top 10 this week. So just a reminder, every week I do go way deeper than this. This is the top of the waiver wire rankings. And so, yeah, some of these guys may not be available. That's okay. I cast a wide net, and I want to point out the obvious guys. Now, if you do have somebody who's over 70% rostered, I'm not going to have them in the tool. I have to have a cutoff at some point. But my advice is, go to the top at the position on the tool and then spend, you know, towards the top end of that range. So for example, number 1 on my list, he's probably not available in your leagues, but he might be, is Chase Brown. I'm going 15 to 25%. Now let's say there is a running back who's over 70% rostered. You know, somebody had mentioned like DeAndre Swift, like he could be out there. He'd be in the 15 to 25% range as well. Knowing that he's boom or bust, but he'd be in that range as well. If it's a wide receiver, the top wide receiver on my list is 10 to 20%, so likely in that range. Okay, so with Chase Brown, 55% rostered on ESPN, 61% on Yahoo, expanded usage over the last 2 weeks, he's looked darn good. And I think last week was a better indicator of what we're going to see going forward, at least I hope, because this was what we were told this backfield was going to look like heading into the season. Week 1 and 2 is always weird. We saw him really not do much. Then he didn't do a ton from a volume standpoint in week 3, but he was darn good. And then all of a sudden, look at that. So if somebody, you know, rage dropped him, pick him up, man. And number 2, Dontayvion Wicks. 10 to 20%. Is this aggressive? Yes, because Christian Watson is not out for the season. Now, if he was, I'd be a lot higher. I'd probably be 25 to 50%. Because here's what we see. Dontayvion Wicks comes in and he catches two touchdown passes and he also leads the team in targets. Jordan Love loves throwing him the football. Like we saw it down the stretch last year. Remember when Wicks was, he was a viable like wide receiver three or better down the stretch in the fantasy playoffs last year. He is the best number four in the NFL. For my money, the best number four. And honestly, is it just me or does he do more on the field than what Christian Watson does? Now, he may not have completely that downfield playmaking ability that Watson does, but Love sure likes throwing him the football. I don't want to say that Matt LaFleur is going to move to him and not put Watson back in when he comes back, but man, I want to take a shot here. I'm probably closer to the low end of this 10 to 20%. And just a word on the fab. So that's my recommendations. These are my market values. These are where I am comfortable spending. If you don't agree, then sure, by all means. Now, know why you don't agree, but also know your league tendencies. If you're in a league that is conservative with fab, you go to the low end of the spectrum. If you are in a league that's aggressive, you go to the high end of the spectrum, but only spend as much as you're comfortable spending. And I will tell you, this week, I do not see somebody who is just an absolute league winner. There are a lot of interesting players, but not a league winner on this list. Number three, Bucky Irving, 10 to 20%. He's still behind White in the pecking order, found the end zone last week on a good team, has run really well so far this season. And you never quite know. You never quite know with Rashad White. So I do like the idea of Irving. And he is out there in enough leagues, 48% in both ESPN and Yahoo is where he's available. Sam Darnold at four, 5 to 10%. This is not a fluke. He is top 12 for me, actually is in Is he 12 or 13? He's like right there. He's a quarterback one going forward. Even if he's on the fringe there, especially with the bye weeks coming in, it's not a fluke. Everything that we've seen so far, he's doing a very, very, very nice job, and he is very startable in one quarterback leagues. And I do have him one spot ahead of Justin Fields, who's also 5 to 10%. Why? I don't know if Justin Fields is necessarily guaranteed to keep this job. We keep hearing about Russell Wilson, and apparently his practice participation is increasing this week, according to Brooke Pryor over at ESPN. Fields has been far from perfect. The fantasy numbers were very good this last week, and he finally hit big time for fantasy purposes because of the two rushing scores. But it also was, by my view, his worst performance from a decision-making standpoint. Definitely not numbers. It was his best for numbers, but numbers aren't everything to football coaches. So I'm being careful, but the good news is Fields, he's still in the driver's seat. And if he is on the field, we know what the upside looks like for fantasy. Rico Dowdle at six, he's 5 to 10%. He's clearly ahead of Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield. And I don't think that changes. Zeke looks like he's toast. Dowdle isn't great, but you know, if Dowdle has a breakout game, guess what? This isn't 5 to 10%. This is at least 15 to 25, if not 25 to 50%. If he does have a breakout game, I'd love to be ahead of it. I'd love to get these guys before it happens as opposed to getting them after. Xavier Leggett at 7, 5 to 10% got things going. 6 for 66 in a score isn't enough to have people stumbling over themselves on the waiver wire. So I think you can get him moderately cheaply. I mean, 5 to 10% isn't cheap, but it's moderately cheap compared to if it was 100 plus and a score. But Andy Dalton is the key there. Wandale Robinson, 5 to 10%. Big week four. Has already caught 25 balls in the season. Really good fit for Daniel Jones. And I don't have an issue with how Daniel Jones has been playing so far this season. So I'm all about getting Robinson in, especially PPR format. Tucker Kraft, 5 to 10%. He's clearly ahead of Luke Musgrave in the pecking order. Though, let's be clear, it's only one big performance so far this season. He did have Malik Willis for the previous 2 weeks, but they're not going to throw the ball as much, they being the Packers, as much every week, because ideally they're not down 28 to nothing or whatever it was every week. So be aware of that. I don't know if Kraft will be an every week starter, and I hope he's not the next guy on the merry-go-round. I correctly predicted last week, you know, Tyler Conklin being that guy. It was Hunter Henry the week before. Every week is going to be somebody where they're picked up and then dropped in sequential weeks. Tajay Spears will be at 10. 5 to 10%. I'm not going to overboard, but here's a couple things. So they're heading into bye this week, the Tennessee Titans. He was fairly widely dropped. He's available in 32% of ESPN leagues, 34% of Yahoo leagues. I don't hate just scooping him up because he scored the touchdown. He's not as good as Pollard in early down situations. I think he's just as good, if not better, in passing situations. But still, if Pollard goes down and this offense all of a sudden can start moving the football a little bit, then that is a good spot for him. Just a word to the wise that the bye weeks come in. If you do that thing that a lot of people do on waivers and you sort by projected points, you are missing guys who are on bye. Or next week, if you sort by points scored, you're missing guys who were on bye the previous week. So make sure you're operating with a list, not just sorting by projected points or points scored. You will miss players if you do that. All right, the player who I didn't mention, and you'll see why I'm going to 11 here, is Kareem Hunt. Why so low, Jeff? Didn't you see he had 14 carries for 69 yards? Yeah, I don't think he looked that good. He looked like Kareem Hunt. He looked like late career Kareem Hunt. Cool. I'm going 4 to 7% on him. Why? Well, he had the 14 carries, yeah. You know what carry he didn't have? The goal line carry. That went to Samaje Perine. Now, Carson Steele looked like he was in the doghouse, obviously, after the early fumbles. Could he get more work this week? I don't know. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I mentioned earlier, could he be involved fairly quickly? Because remember, that wasn't a physical ailment. You know, that was PTSD, which I'm not going to downplay it whatsoever for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But physically, he should be ready to go. If he's mentally ready to go, then physically, he's got to be already there. So could he get into it? I just don't trust the Chiefs' backfield. And so that, if you disagree with me, cool, you do you. But man, I've seen this show before, and it's not as good in reruns as it is the first time around. Well, it's never really good when these backfields are nebulous and murky like this. Don't like it, but he is there. There are 49 players. I may still add a player or two if anything comes up this afternoon, but largely the list is locked over at ftnfantasy.com. Just make sure tonight, before you go and do your waiver wire claims, to check the list, the waiver wire tool. Always better to be safe on that than to be sorry. But usually when we get to around noon on Tuesdays, that bad boy is fairly polished up and ready to roll. Remember, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. In the meantime, you can follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. Tomorrow, I'm going to be on the FTN Fantasy podcast feed, so go check that out. We'll talk some of the latest on the injury front and some thoughts on how those injuries will impact rankings. That's what the Wednesday show is. Then I'll be back on this feed on Thursday and Friday. All right, so I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.